John chapter number 9 is where we're going to take our reading from. I do trust that you'll be praying for me, that God will just lead me in the word this morning. So thankful, you know, just as the song said, as Hannah was singing, she says, if you knew who I was before, you know what? God knew who you was before, and he still chose you. You should feel so privileged this morning that God chose you. He chose each and every one of us. John chapter number 9, if you will, pray for me and pray with me. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. God, we want to thank you for your sweet Holy Spirit that's here. God, I'm so thankful for each and every individual that's here. But God, without you, we'd just be in a meeting this morning. We'd just be in a place, in a building. But because your sweet Holy Spirit is here with us this morning, God, we can have church. We can worship you. We can give you honor and glory. God, as we get into the word this morning, I pray that you'll help me to preach what you've laid upon my heart. God, I pray that we as Christians will heed to your word, that we'll leave this place closer than we were when we come in. And I pray most of all, if there's one here today that's never accepted you as their Savior, God, I pray that they'll listen for that still small voice. And God, it's almost to feel for it. When that heart goes to beating and we feel that you're drawing us, God, I pray that if there's one here today that's lost, that they'll respond to that and they'll come to know you as their personal Savior. God, we thank you and we praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name that I pray, amen. John chapter number 9, we're going to read quite a few verses this morning. Let's begin reading with verse number 1. One of my favorite events in the Bible, I think I say that every Sunday when I start to read, but God's word is so good. And as we read this morning, there's a verse that we're going to get to in a few minutes that one of my daughters asked me just a couple of weeks what was my favorite verse in the Bible. And this is one of my favorites, just the way that it reads. I just absolutely love it. But I'm sure I've preached on this before since I've been here because this is one of my favorites. But let's begin reading verse number 1. The Bible says, and Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? I want to stop for just one quick second. First of all, I want to recognize that just because bad things happen, or we consider bad things, doesn't mean that there was sin that happened to cause that. We'll get into that for in just a few minutes. But as you look at verse number 1, the Bible says, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a blind man. Now, I want you to think about this because Jesus, we're fixing to read about a great work that Jesus is fixing to do. He's fixing to do a miracle right here, and it's a great work. And the Bible says, and as he passed by, you know, sometimes I think that God has great works for us to do. Now, I'm not talking about going out here and healing people. I don't believe that God gives us the gift of healing. I know that God can heal through his Holy Spirit. God can heal through his power. God can do anything. I don't believe that he gives man the power to heal. However, I believe that God has given us work to do, that we should be out pointing others to Jesus Christ. And as you look at this, and you might say, yeah, but preacher, I'm just so busy, and you don't know the trouble that's in my life, and there's so many things going on in my life that I can't even think about doing work for God. I can't even think as I go from day to day because all of the things that are going on in my life. But as you read verse number 1 of chapter number 9, if you go back to chapter number 8 and read, you will read that Jesus just had been talking to some of the Jews here, and he had just told him that he knew who Abraham was. And they questioned him because they said, you're not even 50 years old, and you're going to tell us that you knew who Abraham was. And the Bible tells us that they took up stones and ran him out of the temple. Now here Jesus is. Look, he's in turmoil in his life. They have just taken up stones and ran Jesus out of the temple. Church, we need to be very careful in our day and age that we don't run Jesus out of the church. Amen. But as we look at this, Jesus has just been run out of the temple. He should have, it actually says that he was hiding from them. And even though that was going on in his life, even though that turmoil was there, even though that burden was there, even though he knew all these people were upset with him and ran him out of the temple, look, he still saw the needs of others. Sometimes we need to get our eyes off of our needs and see the needs of others around us. Verse number 3, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which had before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, Go into the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. Then said they unto him, Where is he? He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. And he said unto them, He put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, He is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked him, and they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who you say he was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Then again called they the man which was blind and said unto him, Give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Verse number 25, I guess, is the way that it is worded is just absolutely one of those verses that just, I mean, it just gets me all stirred up every time that I read it. Listen to verse number 25. He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. As this young man was blind and Jesus come by one day, and the Bible tells us that he spit on the ground and he made some clay and he rubbed it in his eyes and he said, Now I want you to go wash in the pool of Siloam. I want you to go and do that, and if you do, you'll be healed. And the young man was healed. And now all of a sudden, everybody can't believe. I mean, they even go to question him. Is this the little boy that was blind? They can't believe what's going on. And they even go to his parents and say, Is this your son? Or have we been tricked and there's been a substitute put in? They said, No, this is our son. This is him, and we know that he was born blind. But whether or not how this happened, we don't know. You need to go and ask him. And as they go and ask him, and they're trying to trick him into answering a question they want it to be answered, he looks at them and they say, Give God the praise because this man is a sinner. See, they were wrong from the get-go right there. What they didn't know is they was talking to God in the flesh right there with them. But as they say, Give God the praise, this man is a sinner. This young boy looked back at him. I don't know his age, but as he looked back at him, he says, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I know, that once I was blind, but now I see. Church, there's a lot of things in my life that I can't answer. There's questions that I can't answer. And as this young man was looking at these Pharisees that day, these religious leaders, and as they were trying to trick him into answering this question, and he looks at them, I'm going to put it in my words. As he looks at them that day, because maybe we can relate to this a little bit, most of us were not born blind, almost all of us. And as he looks at them that day, and maybe he looks at them and says, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But one thing I do know is that I've been changed. Now, there's a lot of questions about the Bible that I can't answer. There's a lot of questions that I'm given daily by people that I work with and I work around about the Bible that I can't answer. There's a whole lot of questions that people ask me and I can't answer. And there's some of them that I just have to say, you got to believe God's word and have faith in God's word. But I want to tell you something. One thing that I do know is that I have been changed. There's some things in my life that has been changed this morning because of the grace of God, because of the forgiveness of God, because of the mercy of God. And for just a few minutes, I want to share three or four things with you this morning that I absolutely know about my relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things that I can't answer. You know, on the way to church Wednesday night, I shared it with the Bible study group on Wednesday night. Addie asked me a question on the way to church, and I don't know what brought this to her mind. This was a question that I could absolutely answer, but Addie looks at me and she says, What can first, the chicken or the egg? I thought, what? Where in the world did that question come from? I know the answer to that. The chicken come first. No doubt in my mind. The Bible says that God created the beasts of the field and the fowls of the air. There's no doubt in my mind that the chicken come first. Addie looked at me and she said, Well, now listen. She said, Couldn't God have created the egg and then created something to sit on the egg? And I said, You mean like a chicken? Either way, God created the chicken. But I want you to know this morning that sometimes the questions that we get out here are so absurd. And the Bible even tells us not to cast our pearls before swine. When people are just trying to trick you and trap you and all that, you better off just to turn away and go away from it. But sometimes the questions out here are legit. The questions out here, they're for real. And people want to know. And they absolutely don't have the answer. But I can tell you one answer that I do have is I know that God changed some things in my life. I want to give you three or four things real quick, and we'll be done this morning. As I look back at when I was saved, and I was saved at the age of 7, and a lot of this stuff I didn't even understand, I didn't realize even at this time, but I want you to know that God changed my position. And you say, well, what are you talking about? Well, before I was saved, I want you to know that I was guilty, that I had no hope, that I was just a sinner. I had a debt that I couldn't afford, and shame in my life that I couldn't get rid of. And you say, well, what do you mean? You say that you were only 7. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how big or how bad your sin is. Now, let me clarify that just a little bit. Yes, there are sins that have bigger consequences in our life than other sins. But when it comes to the sin that put Jesus Christ on the cross, my little bitty sin, your little bitty sin, put him on the cross just like my great big sin or your great big sin. There's no difference in the sin that had to put Jesus on the cross in order for us to be reconciled to him. But even at the age of 7, the night that I realized that I had sin in my heart and that I needed forgiveness from an almighty God, and I had to accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, that night I was a sinner. I was guilty. I had a debt that I couldn't afford, shame that I couldn't get rid of. But I want you to know, as I ran into the living room and I got hold of my dad and I said, Dad, I need to be saved. And we got down on the floor right there and I kneeled on my knees and I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins, to come into my heart and to be my Savior. I want you to know that my position changed. I am now a child of the King. I've been forgiven. I've been redeemed. My sins have been cast as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered against me again. I'm glad as I stand here today. Yes, I still fall and come short. I don't want you to get this wrong, but I am no longer a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. My position has been changed. I'm an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I want you to know this morning that we are children of God. My position has been changed. My purpose has been changed. As I got saved, and again, some of this stuff I didn't understand, I would have had to been like this boy. I'd have had to, at that time, said, well, I don't know about all that, but this is what I do know. What I do know that night at the age of 7, as I lay down in my bed, at the age of 7, now I've told y'all before, I was terrified of absolutely everything. I was scared of Jaws. I was scared of It, since that's out right now. I went to a Bible school one time, and they had a funny clown, you know. And that little clown come running out. It was at my grandpa's Bible school. I probably embarrassed my grandpa pretty good. But I get out of the car, and here comes this person dressed like a clown out to my car. You know what I did? I think I was probably about 8 or 9 years old. Got close enough and I went just like this right here. I was terrified of clowns. I still don't like them, just in case y'all need to know. I was terrified of everything. Now listen, that night laying there in my bed, there was a fear that came over me that I didn't really think of before. As I've told you before, I would say that little prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die, and when I got to that part in my prayer, God spoke to my heart right there laying in my bed. I knew without a doubt that God was speaking to my heart, and he said, if you should die, you would spend eternity separated from your family. Now, that's how it was to me. I knew that my family was saved and ready to go to heaven, and I knew that if I didn't wake up in the morning, that I would never see my family again, that I would be separated. I had enough preached to me that I knew about that separation. And that night, is I couldn't lay there and sleep. I laid there, and I can remember tossing and turning, and I got up finally, and I ran to my dad, and I said, I need to get saved. Now, I want to tell you about the change. After I got in there, and we all cried, and we prayed, and I know that God saved me right there. I didn't have to be in front of the church. I didn't have to be baptized. I didn't have to have any of that. What I had to do was ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart, and I was a child of God. Right then and there, I went back, and I crawled in my bed, and I slept like a baby that night because I had been changed. My sins had been forgiven. I was a child of the King. My purpose had been changed. You know, as we grow up, we're told about being successful. We're told about doing the best that we can. We're told about being as successful as you possibly can. And actually, sometimes we're told that life is short. You just might as well go have fun. Live it up. Just make it through this life the best way that you can and live the best life that you absolutely can. And that was my purpose. That was all of our purpose before we come to know Jesus Christ. But now that I know Jesus Christ, again, I can't answer all of those questions, but I can tell you that something that's been changed in my life is my purpose. I now have a purpose in my life to live a life that honors my Heavenly Father, that gives Him glory with my life, that looks for opportunities to minister to other people. I hope today as you're sitting here that life is not all about you. I hope that as we're sitting here today that life is not all about what we can put up and what we can gain. I hope that my purpose in this life is not just to have a good time. Hey, God wants us to have a good time and enjoy life, but we're here for a much greater purpose than that. Past couple of weeks, I've been struggling with something. Been something on my mind. Been something, I mean, it's even been to where Autumn and we hadn't been arguing anything. It's just not been like it's supposed to be at the house. And I went to one of my customers, and my whole purpose that day was to go and see how many plumbing parts I could sell. I wanted to see just how big of an order I could bring back. I went down, and the customer was actually the Baptist Hospital, and I went down and went way back up underground where they keep all the materials, and I was in there making a material list, and man, I was doing my purpose. And just a little bit, there was a man come down there and talked to me, and I'm glad he knew what his purpose was, because before we left that day, we were both crying, talking to God, and getting things straight like it needed to be, because you know what? It wasn't nobody's fault but my own. My life was not where it was supposed to be. I'm glad that he knew what his purpose was that day. His purpose was not to come give me a great big order. His purpose was not to do whatever he was supposed to be doing. His purpose was to share Jesus with me. He said, ain't that something, the plumber telling the preacher what he's supposed to be doing spiritually? I said, hey man, I need it too from time to time. No, I need it all the time. Hey, I'm just human like you are. But sometimes we get so twisted about what our purpose is that this life, we need to live a life that produces treasures in the right place instead of stacking it up over there in the bank. Hey, I want a big pile over there in the bank too. I'll just be honest with you. I want to be financially stable. I want to be in a place to where when I need cars on my tire, it don't hurt to go get it. When I want to have a little fun with the family, it don't hurt to go and have a little... When I want to go have a little fun with the family, I go take out a deposit and we go have a good time. I want to be to that place too. I don't know what I said, but Lord help me. But my purpose should not be to see how much I can store up here, but to know that I'm laying up treasures in heaven. That should be my purpose. My purpose has been changed. My promise has been changed. Friend, can I tell you that this life before Jesus Christ has no guarantee? Life is but a vapor. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. This life can go by just like that. Hey, one doctor's visit, you go in and you think it's a checkup. You leave wondering what kind of cancer treatment you're going to have to go through. You say, well, preacher, that's not, hey, that's life, ain't it? That's the way it is. This life has not got a lot of promises for us. This life, the only thing that it promises is taxes and death. That's what this life has for us. But I'm glad, even though I can't answer all of the questions about the Bible, I can't tell you, I can't go over into Revelations and tell you about all of the symbolism that's in Revelation. I can't give you all that, but one thing I can tell you is that I've been changed. And my promise has been changed. My promise has gone from not having any promises in this life to now I have a promise that I have a friend that's going to stick closer than a brother. I have a friend that said he'd never leave me, that he would never forsake me, that in a time of temptation that he would always provide a way of escape, that I could have peace that passes all understanding in the middle of all the turmoil and all the middle of all the things that are going on, that I can have peace in my heart, that I have a friend that said I'll give you joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and I'll supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. Hey, that's the promise that I have now. Go home and turn on the news. Go home and just look at what's happening, not only in our country, but in the world as a whole. And focus only on that. And I want you to sit for 24 hours, for 7 days a week, and I want you to watch what's happening. And if you're still encouraged, praise the Lord for you, because I can watch it for about 15 minutes and I'm discouraged. I can watch it for about 15 minutes and I'm like, what in the world? What kind of mess are we going into? I can watch it and say, what in the world are my kids going to be putting up with in this life? But you know what? I'm not worried about all of that, because I'm not dependent on Trump or the next one or the next one or the next one, and I'm not dependent on the Middle East. I got a God in heaven that says, I'm going to be your friend that sits closer than a brother. I'm going to promise you that I'm going to provide for you. I've got a God that says that I'll give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. I'll give you comfort when everything else is not bringing comfort in your life. I'm glad that my promises changed when I met Jesus Christ. I'm glad that my position changed, my purpose changed, my promise changed. Last of all, I'm glad that my place changed. There's no way possible to put this in a way that we leave here and go, well, that was such an encouraging message. But before I come to know Jesus Christ, you want to know what my place was? My place was an eternity in hell. That's where I was bound. See, we want to, in our minds, it doesn't hurt our feelings too bad. It should. The thoughts of anybody dying and going to hell should rip us apart. But if we think about murderers, we think about child molesters, we think about all these evil things in this world that we know, and we think about hell, we think, well, you know, they made choices. But let me just tell you something. That night at the age of 7, when God spoke to my heart, that night, if I had laid right there and not accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and I had died that night, I would have died and went to hell. Now, preacher, I don't like it. That's not pretty. No, it's not. My job is not to be pretty. Thank the Lord, because I'd be struggling with that. My job is to give you the truth. If God has ever spoken to your heart, and you know that you need Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you say no, then your place is hell. My place would be hell. Preacher, I don't like it. I don't either. I wish it was just everybody. God loves, and God does love everybody, but God has given us all free choice of whether we want to be His children or not. And God says, here it is. I'm going to offer you salvation now. You make the choice. And if you say no to God, then the only place for you is hell. Now, let me tell you a little bit about hell. Hell was created for Satan and his angels. Hell was created for that purpose only. But if we choose not to come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, then we will die and go to hell. I don't like that as bad as anybody. But I want you to know, maybe I can't answer all the questions about the Bible. Hey, I was talking with Brother Al Hammond the other night, and we were talking about knowing the books of the Bible. You know, I can remember when I was a young boy, there was a little song that we sung, and I knew all of the books of the Bible. Daddy gave me $20 to learn all of the books of the Bible. Best $20 he ever spent. And I could stand there and I could say every book of the Bible. But now my kids are doing it. And they'll say, hey, Daddy, what's next? And I'll get my Bible out and look at my thumb tabs now, because I've learned to cheat. But as we go through life, there's times in my life where I've been right where I should be with God. And there's been times that I haven't been. And I'm not saying that knowing all the books of the Bible means you are not where you're supposed to be with God. But listen to me. As we go through life, and as I kneeled there as a 7-year-old boy, knowing the books of the Bible is not what gave me a place in heaven. Being in church, even 9 months before I was born, every Sunday, sitting in a pew and daddy preaching and knowing that my dad was a preacher and my mom was a good godly woman, that's not what gave me a passage to heaven. Singing in the choir, even at that young age. Being in Sunday school, that's not what gave me a passage to heaven. But when I finally realized that I was a sinner, that I needed Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins, and I asked Him to forgive me and come into my heart, that changed my place. That's what now, let me tell you something. The Bible tells me that He has gone away to prepare a place for me. And He said, if I go away and to prepare you that place, He said, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, help me, church, there you may be also. I want to tell you what, there's a place that my name is written. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, next Sunday, y'all may decide that you're sick and tired of hearing me preach on hell. You may decide that you're sick and tired of hearing me ramble and say the same things. You may say, well, we're going to get somebody that's more sophisticated, because right now my name's written on that sign. But just in one Sunday, y'all can say, we're going to have a vote, and y'all can kick me right out there on the curb, and y'all can go out there and you can rip my name off the sign. I've been an employee for Hajoka Corporation for over 20 years, and I could go next week and do my forecast with my boss man, and they could say, we no longer need you in that position, and my name could be ripped from that. I live at 401 Old Hollow Road over here in Pilot Mountain. My name is on that mailbox, but it could be ripped off in just a matter of seconds. But I want to tell you something. My name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, and there's nobody here big enough. There's nobody in the government big enough. There's nobody in this world big enough to take my name out of that book. My name was written there because I accepted the sacrifice of Jesus Christ in my life. My name is there, and you can't do nothing about it. Amen. My place has changed. Hey, I'm looking forward. Just this week, we've had some church family that have lost loved ones. In the past couple of weeks, we've had a lot of church family that have lost loved ones. And I know, even sitting here this morning, that you're looking forward to the day that you get to see them again in heaven. What a reunion that's going to be. When our loved ones that have gone on, that we see them there and we know that we never have to be parted again for all eternity. That's going to be wonderful. But I want to tell you something that's going to be even more wonderful than that about this place that God has for us. When you walk in, yeah, seeing your loved ones is going to be great. Seeing the streets of gold is going to be great. The river of life, whatever trips your trigger is going to be great. But I want to tell you something. When you finally look at Jesus Christ and you see Him face to face and you know all of the things that He done for you, and most of all, that He was willing to lay His life down for you, that's going to make heaven, heaven right there. I'm glad that I've got a place. Hannah, if you will, come get us an invitation hymn. I know I've worked you to death this morning. Church, I want to ask you something. You may be sitting here this morning, you say, well, I don't know. I don't know about this, and I don't know about that. I don't know how to answer this question. I don't know how to... Look, there's one question. There's one question that you need to be able to answer before you leave here today. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? That's the one question. They went and asked this boy. They said, is this man a sinner? And he said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. But once I was blind, now I see. Look, you don't need to be able to rattle off the books of the Bible this morning. You don't need to be able to answer all of these theological questions that get handed to us. Because guess what? I probably can't either. You don't need to be able to answer all of this stuff that maybe the world will throw at us. But what you do need to know how to answer is whether or not you've been changed. Church, have you been changed? Do you know that you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? If you don't, today's the day. Because let's go back to this. You have no promise of tomorrow. You have no idea whether or not tomorrow will ever get here. I wish that I can make you that promise. I wish that I could tell you everything's going to be okay, but I don't know that. What I can tell you is if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, whether you die or whether you stay, you're a winner either way. That's what I can tell you. Every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. Christians, I want to ask you something. Are you still fired up about the change that God made in your life? Hey, when I sit down and when I think about it, I get fired up about it. There's something that goes to stirring in my heart. The Holy Spirit goes to moving in my life. Man, I get fired up about it. But you know what? There's been times in my life when I wasn't walking where I was supposed to walk. I wasn't doing the things I was supposed to be doing. I didn't have the relationship with Christ that He wants me to have, and I wasn't fired up about it. Maybe you be here this morning and you say, preacher, I know that my life has been changed. I know without a doubt that I know Jesus Christ is my personal Savior, but I'm not giving Him free control right now. I'm not fired up about it like I should be. Would you just slip up your hand and say, God, I know that You changed my life, but I need to be closer. I see your hand all over the sanctuary. Yes, I see hands all over the sanctuary. God bless your hands. I'm praying for you. Did you be here this morning? Would there be anyone? Wouldn't come to you, wouldn't embarrass you, wouldn't call out your name for nothing in the world. That would say, preacher, I've never been saved. I haven't been changed in the capacity that you've been talking about this morning. I know if I died right now, that I'd die and go to hell. Preacher, would you pray for me? That I would find an opportunity, that I would listen for that still small voice, that I would respond to God's call, and that I would get saved. Would you just slip up your hand and say, Preacher, I'm lost and I want you to pray for me. I don't want to die and go to hell. Anywhere? Just slip up your hand. Preacher, I'm lost. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this opportunity. God, I want to thank you for the changes that you made in my life. God, I want to thank you that even since that day, you have never, ever gave up on me. God, for all of these Christians that are here with me this morning, God, I pray that you'll help us to be fired up, to live a life that gives you glory, that we understand the changes that you've made in our life. God, as we have this opportunity to come to this altar and talk to you, God, I pray if you're speaking to our hearts, that you'll give us courage, you'll give us strength, and God, that you'll help us to move. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.